This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm sat in the studio with
Jeff Sandu
and Audrey Ratch.
And our producer of the day, of course, is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Ni hao.
There we go. Of course, Christine's little trick. Every day she has to have a new introduction, a new language. Because you need to learn things, right?
Yeah.
Learning is important. Something we'll be touching on throughout the entire show. Why is that, Mr. Jeff Sandu?
Well, in case you've missed out, the Breakfast Grill this morning had our Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, on the show. And a lot of it was talked on, you know, the education sector. So how can we improve the education sector? What can we do, Tun himself mentioned, you know, there are some suggestions that he gave out. So we thought we're going to take that angle to a step further now to look at what sort of technology solutions and also, you know, some of the SMEs that are doing things with the education can actually benefit the education sector immediately.
That is what our question is based around. This morning's interview, of course, the question is, following that interview, what technological changes do we need in Malaysian education? You can let us know. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We already have some responses, which we'll get to a little bit later on in the show. Moving on to story number two, how some young Malaysians have gone into the lucrative world of esports. They're moving away from traditional education and doing something for themselves. And some of them are making quite a bit of money.
Yep.
We've mentioned it a couple of times, but we thought we'd touch on it again today because it seems to be a nice related topic. And then we'll be finishing up with...
We're going to be going through, taking a closer look at some of the top Merdeka ads of 2019. Some of our favourites and must-watches.
Did you cry at any of them this week at this time?
I am not going to say that on air. Yes.
Okay, so yes. Right, Jeff, kick us off then.
Yeah, so earlier this morning on the Breakfast Grill, our Prime Minister Tun Mahathir talked about how the education sector needs radical changes to ensure the future of Malaysia. So, you know, we're going to be discussing some of the things that can be done using technology, so how it can shape the education sector. For those of you who missed out, here's a clip of what exactly he said about the current education system.
With regard to education, we need to make rather radical changes. One of the things that we notice is that because of the growth in the number of students and teachers, the quality is not uniform. Certain schools do well, certain schools do not do well. Maybe it's because the quality of the teachers differ. What we are trying to do now is to have the best teacher record the lessons and the other teachers use the lessons prepared by the best teacher. We can do this and we can use project it on the screen and we will learn like language, these courses in language which are prepared by some language specialists. They know how to teach and we will have to adopt them.
So what he's suggesting is something that, you know, a lot of countries we've seen how, you know, they're using technology. It's, you know, trying to record some of the best teachers or some of the new curriculums, and then they will shoot it out to areas that is difficult to reach, where it's difficult to maybe there are not enough teachers. So they use technology. So, you know, whether it's screencasting, so you learn at the same time the best teacher is teaching you in a different state, but at, you know, the same time zone or so. So it helps with the disparity of, you know, teachers in terms of their qualifications or their ability to teach, right? So, you know, some teachers may be really good in using, you know, some technology services, but then some who don't, right? So you have these kind of new, it's not really new, but you have some solutions that are able to help teachers and students from, you know, who are not really used to the idea of using technology. They will be able to be more accustomed to using like a screencast. So that's just like one idea. But interestingly, I came across an article recently that talks about a new curriculum that is developed by MIT Media Lab that actually helps children to understand algorithms. And I think that's an area that our education system really needs to look into it. And there's multiple reasons into why. So one of the students from this MIT Media Lab said that, you know, describing artificial intelligence, said it's kind of like a baby or a human brain because it has to learn and it stores the data and then it uses that information to figure things out. Now, this came from a student that's only 10 years old that's able to put together a description of a very complex topic. I can't even explain what artificial intelligence is in that sentence.
That's the thing, right? You know, when you told me it was a student, I was like, whoa, but you know, by the 10-year-old.
10-year-old.
That's quite good.
So this student participated in a pilot program in the summer designed to teach them about AI. The curriculum is developed by Blakely Payne, who is a graduate research assistant at the MIT Media Lab. It's part of this broad initiative to make this concept as an integral part of middle school classrooms. She's since open source the curriculum, so it's things that we could easily get, and this includes several interactive activities that can help students to discover how algorithms are developed and how these processes go on to affect people's lives. And there's a reason for this, because children today are growing up in a world of AI. You know, Malaysian children are by no exceptions. So algorithms, they determine what information they see, help select the videos they watch, how to, you know, shape what they learn when they used to, you know, like YouTube and Facebook and stuff. So it's very essential for them to understand how these technologies work so that they can best navigate and also consume them. So there's several reasons why teaching children about AI will come in really handy, even here in Malaysia. And we can do it because these are the kind of things that are open source, that's easily available. And if you apply what Tun is saying, is, you know, you get the best teachers to record how they're doing this and then you broadcast it to other different teachers, right? So one reason is, of course, the economics. So studies have shown that exposing children to technical concepts stimulates their problem solving and critical thinking skills, and it can then prime them to learn computational skills more quickly later on in life. And we know how much, you know, how lacking is our education sector when it comes to problem solving and critical thinking, right? And then there's also the societal argument, in the sense that, you know, in middle school in the US, it's actually critical for children's identity and formation and also the development when you expose them. For example, like if you teach girls about technology at a young age, it actually may make them more likely to study it later on or have a career in technology.
Yep.
And this is according to Jennifer Gibson, who's a professor at psychology and child development at the California Polytechnic State University. It also could then help diversify AI, broader tech industry. You can learn how to grapple with the ethics, also with the societal impacts of how technology can help, you know, children grow into more conscious creators and developers, as well as just be a more informed citizen. And then there's also the vulnerability part. People are more, young people, they're more malleable and they're also more impressionable. So ethical risk comes into this part where, you know, you can track people's behavior and then use them to design more addictive experiences that heighten their senses. So they are able to be more engaged with it, because passive consumers that are children, it's actually very harmful for their development as well, right? So this program, they include a series of activities. They prompt students to think about the subject of algorithms. They begin by learning about algorithms as recipes with inputs, with a set of instructions and outputs. So these kids are then asked to build or write down instructions for an algorithm that outputs the best peanut butter or jelly sandwich. So in the Malaysian case, you could just do, you know, output the best pisang goreng, output the best mee goreng, the, you know, nasi lemak. It's, you know, Malaysian.
Make it something familiar.
Something familiar, because again, these concepts are all open source, right? So very quickly, the kids in the summer pilot started to grasp the underlying lessons. A student actually pulled aside one of the reporter and said, one of the teachers, and said, like, is this supposed to be an opinion or fact? And this is because through their own discovery process, the students realized how they had unintentionally built their own preferences into the algorithms itself. So they're building their own kind of, you know, algorithms that is catered to them. Then they understand, right? So, and then the next activity builds on this concept. So students draw what Payne, who developed this whole thing, calls an ethical matrix to think of how different stakeholders and their values might also affect the design of a sandwich algorithm. So during this pilot, they were taught on an article by Wall Street Journal on how YouTube executives were considering whether to create a separate kids-only version of the app with a modified recommendation algorithms. So the students were able to see how investor demands, parental pressures, or children's preferences could actually send the company down completely different algorithms in redesigning their path. And then the concept of AI biases is also thought. They're using Google's Teachable Machine Tool. It's an interactive code-free platform for training basic machine learning models. And from there, they have an opportunity sort of to correct what are some of the biasness that, you know, it has. And this is just a simple cat and dog AI biasness. So I think, you know, there are so many new technologies that's open source, and we've yet to actually embed one of these into our education system.
Yeah, that was a lot to take in, you know, but like, I'm thinking like helping kids learn about algorithm from where some of our schools are at right now just seems like it's going to take a while before we get there.
I think that's something we're going to have to touch on after a short break. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. Ladies and gents, please do give us your feedback. The question that we're asking today, following this morning's interview with Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, we are asking you, what technological changes do we need in Malaysian education? Let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Music up first. Queens of the Stone Age with Feet Don't Fail Me. When we come back, more on that topic. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysians. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Audrey Raj
and Jeff Sandu.
With you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, we're talking about how, following the interview this morning with the Prime Minister, what technological changes do we need in the Malaysian education system? Get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. We're going to do some tweets first with Audrey.
Yeah, so Darren says, don't run before we can walk. Improve on the fundamentals first before talking about technological changes. Mm-hmm. Amir has chimed in to say, basic electricity and water supply for rural schools. That's where we should start.
Yeah. Mm. On WhatsApp, 9033 says, time to liberate education sector. Open it up for better competition, more innovation. This is radical. And then number ending with 8883 says, Malaysia education change every 5 years. And outside of Malaysia, it's talking of more effective ways and more practical ways on education, but yet Malaysia will still, you know, going around the issue with the card and stuff, right?
Over here to Bob T. Asia on Insta Story, need to add computer language and programming as one of the compulsory subjects. V. Kinraj has said, access for students to view on the daily lessons taught to assist with their homework, so like a timetable, I'm assuming, that you can check online. We have e-learning, where students can exchange ideas and learn from each other from school and from home. Final one, not sure about technological changes, but the quality of teachers definitely needs to be improved. I think that's something that's been going around for a while, right? And of course, obviously, with Tun mentioning it this morning, it's clearly top of mind. But Ords, what you spoke about earlier on, we spoke about algorithms and how, you know, teaching kids about algorithms is a very important thing. But I think the biggest issue is that we need to face is that so many people here in Malaysia, kids in particular, just do not have access to the internet and one way or another. And even with these great ideas of recording great teachers, you know, how do you then get that to these kids who are in areas that perhaps don't have internet penetration or one thing or another?
Exactly. And the other thing is that we're dealing with kids today who are digital natives, right? Yeah. Like, they're so used to touch screens and, you know, computers, and they FaceTime. They don't phone call anymore. You know, this is this is how kids today are born and they live. So obviously teachers need to incorporate, you know, screens and, and, you know, things like this when they are teaching our kids, because if not, kids are just going to lose attention. They're just not going to pay attention.
For these kind of distance learning, because that's essentially what it is, right? There are a whole bunch of these already exist. If we look at the Khan Academy, for example, is something that's been set up for a while, follows this very similar principle. You can look at different languages. You can learn about programming. All of these things already exist online. And I know there's a couple of Malaysian companies doing this kind of thing as well. So, you know, the stuff's already there. It's the implementation of getting you know, schools to start using this stuff, right, Jeff?
Yeah, so when we talk about the rural areas, I know there are some rural areas that still struggle with technology, but I would say it's safe to say most of them in the rural areas, they outside of the school areas, they would be used to some form of screen. So whether it's mobile phones, right? Most of them are mobile first when they are experience of the internet. So when you go into a school that then removes all of these elements and goes back to textbook, as a kid, you're not drawn in already then, right?
You're not stimulated.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I think, you know, it's essential that we look at maybe some of the open source learnings that, you know, you've mentioned, you know, and there's so many of them. And these are all easily available, freely available. You don't have to spend billions of ringgit to implement something like this. I guess the money can implement in getting the teachers to be tech savvy, in getting the kind of like internet penetration into the schools itself. But in terms of the curriculums, a lot of it is kind of like, you know, the same. We just have to localize it in terms of maybe the language or maybe some of the examples. But the curriculum, that's the beauty of technology. You know, it's a language. Coding, we all say it's a language. So that language doesn't change whether you're studying in the US or you're studying in parts of KL or in the rural areas. So we actually spoke to Eric Mulgan. He's the chief marketing officer at iTrain Malaysia. And we asked Eric, what is the current role of technology in education?
There's the role of technology in schools. And there's the role of technology, you know, if you take education to mean also the learning that children do outside of school as well, when they're at home, when they're with their friends, with their parents. In school, at the moment, it's relatively limited. I think in public schools, most of them have a computer lab and most of them have access to that lab a little bit of time per week. And through that, they can access certain types of software, which is a good start. In terms of education that happens at home, though, I think that that's really where technology is shining at the moment. You know, most kids have access to YouTube, they have access to all these different platforms, they can learn through video games, they can learn through communications, they can access online resources for research. You know, so even starting at a very young age from some of the simpler just media platforms all the way through to what one does at university, online technology offers a huge amount of possibilities and really helps these kids along their educational journey.
And Eric, what technological changes would you like to see in the Malaysian education?
If we could do more, if we could offer more resources, if we could offer more time to the kids, it could be very beneficial. I think there's also a bit of an awareness as the schools go in terms of, you know, they know that the kids have access to technology at home, but I don't think there's much integration happening between the schools and potential online resources at home. Not all children might have the same access to technology online, and it wouldn't be fair if, you know, let's say a teacher assigns homework that requires some access to a platform or to play a certain tool, and then some kids can do it because they have great tech at home, and other kids can't because they don't have access to the same. So it is a challenge also to balance.
And that's very student-focused, which is great, but how could technological changes be applied to teachers and how they teach as well?
You know, on the first hand, well, of course, you know, everybody can agree the more we can invest in schools and education, the better. And what that would mean, of course, is giving the teachers who are currently in contact with the kids more training so that they know, you know, which tools they can use. They have digital skills themselves that they can implement and teach onto the kids. You know, if you were to look at schools and children that want to learn tech, if you were to potentially widen the net of people who might be willing to teach them, to include maybe not full-time teachers, but actually industry experts that, you know, are good with kids, have the right, you know, licensing and security approval, but will be willing to spend, you know, some of their time, maybe even voluntarily, to teach these kids about tech and cybersecurity. I think that would be potentially a great way to broaden and the access that the kids have to education. Then the third option is also online resources. Again, if you have children who have access to labs and teachers that have access to labs, then there are courses that can be delivered almost entirely online.
I like the idea. You know, you get the industry practitioners, the professionals in the space of tech, and, you know, they come in and teach teachers. And, you know, get them to sort of learn about, you know, how do you go about in, you know, using technology. And then, you know, you get a cert at the end of it, right? And, you know, I think it's it's a win-win situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that should be the first step, actually, building these digital-minded educators. I was actually watching this video of an educator in India. He actually owns a bunch of preschools and private schools as well. And he was talking about how technology and these educators really need to be balanced, because apparently in California, they're actually using robots to teach kids. And it's not working. Just because, you know, the kids need that human element in order to learn. I think that the education process needs a human touch. And that's something that's missing when you completely replace a teacher with a robot.
Yeah.
But on the complete other end of the spectrum, we still have, like we were saying earlier, some kids who, you know, their only access to the internet is via their mobile phone. So, you know, if you can get the teachers in on this, you know, and to incorporate tech, that should be the first step.
Yeah, I mean, you can even involve, you know, some of the phone companies and the internet companies to help with this penetration. Make it a holistic thing. Make it a national thing. You know, let's push it all forward together as one big thing.
CSR.
Yeah, there you go. Time for a very short break. Supertramp up next with Breakfast in America. When we come back, moving on to story number two, about young Malaysians and the lucrative world of esports. All coming up next on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.